Well, there is a new unstoppable movement that's fixing almost everything wrong with America's healthcare. It's called direct care, and by sidestepping entrenched extractive middles, employers and consumers alike can eliminate all the built-in confusion, gaming, all the tyranny. Because direct care pays for itself, so the members and white coats are doubling every 3 years. Welcome to the new healthcare economy, where everyone wins. Redirect Health. I chose Redirect Health as our sponsor for a few reasons. I'm a happy client 5 years now, and our most downloaded shows by far are Redirect Health shows. No one has a health plan for small employers more focused on reducing healthcare costs than Redirect Health. They have over 3,000 Google 5-star ratings and growing daily, and they average 4.6 stars overall. So stay tuned for your free report at the end of this show. Business Owner's Guide to Slashing Healthcare Premiums. get.redirecthealth.com/run. And now to the show. When we had little kids, we had a fast pass at Epcot. But we didn't know about this little trick. At one of the nicer restaurants, suddenly, who appears right next to us but Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley? She was so luminescent, it was like looking into the sun. It actually hurt my eyes. I can speak for myself. Well, they had a VIP very fast pass. They had a golden ticket that allowed them underground in trams, no lines, no walking in the Florida heat. That's American healthcare, except the bigs are treated like the celebrities with all the bennies and exceptions. They write the rules, they own the refs. The upper crust, the upper 5 or 10%, they get the fast pass in healthcare. No waits, but you got to pay a little more for it. But you're going to get the best care, theoretically, and you get second opinions on scary stuff because you can afford it. 95% of the rest of America is the Disney crowd, viewed by the VIPs as the necessary rabble, the unwashed masses, except for direct care members. We are all on a VIP FastPass, and it's paid for by employers. 99% of us out there that are members, the employers pay for it. And our rule book is so different, it's not even a rule book anymore. It's not even related to theirs, because in direct primary care, it's a simplified and easy quick hack recipe versus a fat wordy cookbook with 10,900 CPT codes. So it's friction free of money and time, the two prickly things in life and healthcare. So direct care is a absolute movement that's unstoppable. It's a future where everybody wins, 23 to 25 million members strong, 20,000 white coats. The growth rate the last 5 years has been measured almost at 32%. Now, our banker, the lead banker in San Antonio, said when growth is 6%, you can feel it in the wind. 31%, it's not just palpable, it's magnificent. It's doubling every 3 years, 2.5 years. We have 640 surgery centers with 20 to 60% lower costs, no affect and infection rates or readmission rates. In fact, they're better at most of these. We have 3,000 imaging centers that are independently owned. 20 to 60% lower cost, all in bundled pricing, no difference in quality from the rest. And wholesale pharmacies, we've had a couple on this show that offer medications for generics at 2 to 4 cents a pill. So you're spending $4 to $9 a year for your medications for most generics. And specialists and labs prefer cash pay, they too take 20 to 60% lower cost. So today I'm delighted to introduce you to Doug Farrago. He's a doctor, retired, family doctor. He's one of the pioneers in the DPC movement. He's seen it all, and he's written 3 books on that subject. He also runs 2 blogs, AuthenticMedicine.com and DPCNews.com. And he's a consultant for some of these big hospitals and their physician retention programs. He can help them curb physician turnover. And he's an inventor, so he's a triple threat. Can dance, can sing. He can act. He invented a product called the Knee Saver, which is currently in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and the cryo helmet used by athletes for head injuries, as well as migraine sufferers. His most recent book is on LinkedIn. You can find it. It's The Hospital Guide to Physician Retention, Why Creating a Physician-Friendly Environment is Critical for Your Organization's Success. And as I said, 6 other books. Welcome to the show, Doug. Glad to have you.
I am happy to be here. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate the invite.
Sure. Any comments before we go?
Oh, I have lots of comments. That's the problem. My wife tells me I talk too much anyway. So what I will pick and choose as I go. I like your enthusiasm for direct care, but I think, you know, I have definitely a biased opinion about what's real direct care and what is kind of what I call dyno or direct DPC in name only. So let's go at it.
Yeah, I agree. We should go at it. So I've had this discussion before with Leah Houston, and I didn't convince her and she didn't convince me.
Yeah.
There are many that are in your camp that say DPC should be a guy or a gal or a few people helping the local community, one consumer at a time, maybe a church at a time, a car wash at a time, but the mom and pop locals can take care of that. My problem with that, Doug, obviously, is that that doesn't take care of Boeing. That doesn't take care of people that have employees in all the cities in your state. So that's my problem. So it's had to scale with private equity, that evil, dark word. But
right.
It's had to scale, right? So let's hear your consideration of what is the definition of pure DPC versus dyno.
Well, I mean, so I'm not going to, I mean, okay, so a lot of information I can tell you I have on dpcnews.com. And I get that there's benefits to some scaled up, quote unquote, direct contracting, right? So I do like, I see that. The problem is it'll get bastardized and it'll turn into the same crap we have here, and doctors will be treated the same way because they don't have skin in the game. I'm also have that fear, and I've had that fear when, because I've had patients, I've had small businesses, and the patients who have the employers pay for it. They don't value us as much as when you pay for yourself, right? You value what you pay for. Now, we don't charge that much, but I've been blown away by that problem as well. So the answer for scaling up, that's going to take time. And if you use private equity or VC, it gets bastardized. I would hope, let's say, that 400 family practices in Seattle can handle all the Boeing situation, and that would be great. And that would be hopefully the future. But I think that if you do it in a way that, you know, it's a big company and it's the same thing as a doctor's hired like a pharmacist at Walmart, it doesn't work. It's not the same feeling for the doctor.
Well, I don't disagree. I do think that there is no evidence of burnout when you go to the DPC conventions and conferences that you're used to going to, DPC Alliance and the like. DPC is the happiest doctor in the world, right? They say,
right,
nobody's toasting their great success, they're toasting no more burnout. They're delighted that they're not in that grinder anymore. But I'm hearing the same thing when I talk to the CEOs and CMOs of these 21 regional and 5 national companies that are scaling to take care of, well, start out Silicon Valley really was the early adopter. But, you know, somebody needed to step in and serve that market. I was in Denver the weekend that what's now called Everside, Palladino at the time, got the state of Colorado. That was like mm-hmm. a big deal. Peak One, Colorado Springs, NextEra, Denver, and Everside, Denver were all three competing for that business. And Everside got it, and they got it fair and square. And then maybe a year later, they got the state of New Jersey, much bigger, much bigger. And then I woke up and realized this idea of the Mount Rushmore of DPC, mom and pop, all the great guys like Atlas MD and Plum Health, all these wonderful men and women that are out there pioneering like you did, they couldn't handle the state of New Jersey from Colorado. They simply couldn't. But Everside did. They figured it out. And the races were on, man. And suddenly national on-site and near-site DPC are taking off, getting lots of funding.
Yeah, I totally get it. Don't get me wrong. This is the logic of being an entrepreneur, when there's a problem and you have an answer to that problem, you can throw enough money at it and you can fix it. So will it last? I can tell you that, you know, that the small mom and pop are thin margins, but perfect margins for us. We don't need to make a lot of money.
Right.
When you have these big corporations throwing money, they want 10X, and they want 10X within what, a few years? they may sell a big game, but that's going to change in a few years. And now you're paying administrators and everything else, and it becomes the same thing that we've seen before. Now, so time will tell. It's not the same experience. Listen, I've heard horror stories about Forward, which is a VC-backed. They've put $50 million in, it's like nine clinics. Like, dude, seriously, it costs $20,000 to start my clinic.
No. Forward's the one that's tech savvy and it's very cool.
Well,
and
it's you know, it's substance over style over substance, right?
Yes.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. This job, you can pretend and you can put all that sparkles and everything else on it, but it's between you and the patient. And if you want to play the game, which is what's coming next, is AI, by the way. If you want to take the humanity out of this job, then it's not going to work because you need a doctor in front of a patient with time. And so we hear complaints. I've seen complaints and lawsuits and so forth with Forward of like, okay, it started out with 30 minutes. Now it's down to 15 and they're grinding these guys because it's the 3 years are up and they want their 10x money back. So yes, we don't have an answer as the mom and pops to fill the Boeings and so forth yet, because we don't have the doctors to do it. Right. I mean, because doctors don't want to jump into DPC because they're afraid. They're not entrepreneurs and they don't want to go to zero money. You got to go from a salary to zero while you build your practice.
Well, you're talking about Forward. Let's talk about Lyric or Marathon or Premise, or we can talk about Asteria. There are companies out there that have, you know, 50 states covered with physical clinics. They have, of course, virtual covered 50 states and territories. So they have 95% to 99% retention of their employer contracts. So the employers are excited and sticking with them.
Okay.
Their NPS scores are in the high 90s. Hospitals don't even quote them anymore because they're so low. Teladoc's the last one I heard even come close to, and they're a platform. They're not really virtual primary care like you and I would define it, but they're in the mid-70s, and they're bragging about it because it's so much higher than the low bar set in legacy care, right?
Well, right. So we're on the same side there, right? It's shooting fish in a barrel. I do that, and I talk about that. Anything's better than the crap we have now, right? So where we can agree on is insurance sucks, and they're ripping everybody off themselves and with PBMs, and it's an absolute joke. So to beat them in service and to beat them in care is shooting fish in the barrel. So then the branching off point that you and I have is that filling that huge gap and make this thing go quickly versus the slow wave, which is very slow, unfortunately, of getting the family docs themselves saying, let me open my own clinic in my small community and take care of my town where I know everybody. And that experience, you won't get in the VC back ones. I'm sorry. You're just not going to get that same experience.
To your point, Doug, I do not get, when I ask on the show, tell me your renewal rate for doctors, I don't get that number. They say it's high. We got a line of people waiting to come in. I get that they're not paying bonuses like a Village Medical would for Walgreens, right?
Right.
Like, in fact, anybody, I don't think ChinMed has to either, but there's very few primary care doctors that don't get a sign-on bonus. And if you're in an attractive magnetic model like this DPC model out there, like the ChinMeds, the full risk value-based care, they're getting big fat checks to come on board these other companies. That tells me something right there that there's, yes, a deep line of people getting interested, but I can't figure out, are they keeping their doctors? Well, they don't post that metric and they don't talk about it on the show.
Well, I don't have that answer. The odds are no. I mean, everybody can be bought, and that's the best way to get doctors, just to pay for them. So if I'm a doctor who has $300,000 in loans, I'm 5 years out, I've worked through the system that sucks, and I can start my own practice, which I'm now going to go in 100 grand, 50 grand in a hole, or someone's going to pay me 30 grand and then pay me in the beginning, pick a number, 2K, 200K. I may jump for that, even though it's for another kind of machine. But do they hold on to them? I can't give you that answer, but the odds are no. Most people don't. They want to practice medicine the way they want to practice medicine. They want to have some control over their life and their practice. And I can only talk to you about the small mom and pops because that's the ones I really cater to as far as helping for free. I don't charge anybody when I talk to anybody for DPC. And they're the happiest doctors you'll ever see. And I never see those doctors working for these big VC groups ever come to the conferences. I just don't.
Well, I think it's almost like we're all part of the Rebel Alliance. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but we're fighting the dark forces of Darth Vader, and everybody knows they don't want to go to that starship, right?
Right.
And we're not bifurcated. It's not like corporate doesn't get along with mom and pop. It's, you know, there's a jumbo approach, scalable mostly by private equity, two or not, but most of them are private equity. And then there's everybody else. And there's, it doesn't make Walmart smarter than the guy who's a really clever retailer locally and knows his market. That's really kind of the comparison here. So I'm excited for both. I don't have to choose a horse in this race.
No,
right?
I get that. I guess that so the DPC Alliance was really, if you actually look at it, the logo kind of on there is from Star Wars and the Rebel Alliance. So yeah. And that organization is what I came up with, and Star helped start with a bunch of other founders. And you won't see VC Corp doctors in the Alliance. They just don't join it, right? And so, again, that's skin in the game. And we want a movement. I personally think I'm most confident in that movement, from that grassroots movement of guys start and women starting their own practices. But that's, and that's okay to agree or disagree, I think we're in the same boat to a certain extent. I fear anybody giving us a bad name. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, that's a very fair prayer. Let's talk about what happened to Q-Liance. They had all the right numbers. Everything was going in the right direction. They were an early adopter. They were kind of scaling like I'm talking about. And then it just unraveled. I mean, it was a long time ago, but why didn't Q-Liance, with all their amazing outcome numbers, make it?
I'm saying don't quote me as I'm on a podcast, but the bottom line is I believe they try to make a deal with Medicaid. And so in some fashion, you'd have to look that up, and that sunk them. And so you're not going to believe this, but working with the government in some manner doesn't always work out.
Yeah. Here's the two scariest things I see for Chen Med. They have a capitated model and they're getting 12 grand this year, 11 grand next year, 10 year, 9 the next year. They're going to get hammered, and they have literally zero control over getting any negotiated rate they want, because they're going to get what they're told they're going to get.
Yes.
The race to the bottom is basically the problem with capitated value-based care. But the other problem is with DPC is, if we have a bunch of private equity funded jumbo DPC, and you've identified the problem, someday when they exit, do they sell to Optum and Optum kills it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
right?
That's what I just talked about, right? You want your 10X and you want to turn it and make a profit off it. When you look at pure DPC, which is the mom and pops, that doesn't happen in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we do try to tell our people, man, don't make half your practice one business. Because if you work for XYZ Engineering as 300 patients they want to put in your practice, that's not smart. Because if they leave, they have control. Or if they don't leave, they say, we want to pay now 30% less. What are you going to do? And so the free market's a nice thing, man. But once you start getting too many people pulling your strings like a puppet, I think you're screwed.
Well, let's talk about innovative models you've seen in the mom and pop space. I've seen a Robin Hood approach on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Where they charge double, $200, and they give 100 to somebody in poverty, and they take 100 for the member.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of cool. That's not widespread, but it's kind of cool.
Yep. I think there's a lot of cool ones out there. You know, there's some people who don't want to make a lot of money, and there's some people who want to make a little bit more. Well, because a concierge versus DPC, concierge will still bill insurance. DPC does not mess with insurance. And then there is very expensive DPC, which is like basically concierge DPC, which I'm not a big fan of, where they're charging ridiculous rates. I'm a big fan of direct primary care that's affordable. Wherever that is, depending on your demographics, it ends up about $75, $80 a month, could be less, could be more. People do it by age. We used to bundle it by family, number of family members. Affordable DPC is the part that people need, that I think is the most important thing to make this thing succeed. Now, the Robin Hood model, great. If you want to flip around and play that stuff, if you want to add other things that adjuncts it to your, you know, whether it's some aesthetics, or that's up to you as a family doc. But I think the pureness of family medicine is truly taking care of that family. And hopefully you're still doing that, you know, who am I to judge?
Yeah, well, there's another practice in Austin that's started by a nurse practitioner, and she's only hires other NPs, and she's skewing towards female members because, you know, they have mostly female nurses. That's another interesting model. But to your point, I think one of the most interesting things is that employers are now demanding mental health or behavioral, we'll call it, and occ health or physical medicine, we call them MSK, right?
Okay.
And because they're demanding that, I think of it like a Tinker Toy approach. You can have for $85 primary care, but with mental health, you can do it for, you know, $105. And we throw in the occ health, and now we're talking $125. And it's not virtual. They have clinics. They have PTs or chiros in there. They've got therapists in there so that you can physically see them or you can do the virtual. But that's what they're trying to do, is respond to what the employer wants, which is mental health has kind of turned into a big deal after a pandemic, and the employer is sort of demanding that now.
So here's my here's my feeling on that. Now, this is the mom and pop talking. If my employer demands I have this, they can go F themselves. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, dude. So I can tell you right now, I'm laughing because I can just tell you, we don't care. We've trained our whole life to be family medicine. We do mental health. We have time with every patient, 30 to 60 minutes. We only have 600 patients. You can't tell me some of these big VCs have a limited amount of patients. We have a limited amount of patients with a lot of time and understand. I saw 140,000 patients in my career. Can I deal with mental health stuff? Absolutely. Am I going to do counseling? No, I can find somebody who can do counseling. But if somebody who is working with me demands that I have this and this, then go somewhere else, dude. I don't care. You can take your business somewhere else.
Yeah, the former head of the Texas Association of Family Practice and I are friends for a lifetime. And he told me 80% of what he does is mental health.
I mean, a lot of family medicine is a psychosocial thing. We can always talk about that as being part of how now we're going to fragment health, musculoskeletal. You're going to tell me I got to send to somebody else so this is where we differ. See, we can handle, I'm trained to handle this. I'm trained really well because on 20,000 hours of training, that I can handle this. So I laugh when I hear you say that, man. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but no employer is going to say, we demand this and this. I'm like, I demand you leave. I don't care.
Right. Different model, different needs, different benefits, just completely different models. But again, we're all part of the Rebel Alliance. So that's the good news.
Hey, listen, we do agree that we're fighting the insurance model, which is broken and they're just getting rich. Bias is for the physicians first and then for the patients. And it's not the other way around. It sounds bad, but the bottom line, if you're in an airplane and you have a child and the oxygen comes down, you put it on, make sure you're taken care of first so that you can take care of them and then your child. So if doctors aren't taken care of, which they're not, then the whole system breaking down. So my fear is with these other VCs and other big dinos not taking care of the doctors first, not thinking about that, then it won't work. Where in DPC, it's doctors first, and then we take care of our patients, who just like our children on an airplane. Does that make sense?
Gut instinct tells me an MD-run DPC is going to do more for doctors than a one run by a former private equity guy, right?
Correct.
So yeah, we're together on that one. Well, let's talk for a second about, I look at DPC Frontier, and it looks like 250,000 members have joined mom and pop DPC. I've seen numbers as high as 1 million too. So what is the actual number out there?
No freaking clue. I have no clue.
Right.
Phil Eskew's a friend of mine, but you know, I don't know how really accurate that the DPC mapper is. DPC Alliance has their own list. Hint has their own list. Atlas has their own list. And so it's very a question. I don't know the answer. Yeah, can tell you that we announce on DPC News a new practice like twice a week is opening up. And right now I've been researching the failed mom and pops, and there have been some. And so it's very interesting, that world too. So, but yeah, it's very rare. It's rare for DPC to fail, but I can't tell you the number, and it's probably not growing exponential.
Yeah,
probably not. It probably is linear.
I'm not a reporter, but when I interview these folks, and they're all men so far that are running these companies, but when I interview these guys, I ask the question, how many members do you have? And then I'm not smart enough. I haven't been smart enough to ask the follow-up question. So they're telling me 4 million, 6 million, 11 million. My follow-up question should be, okay, that's how many you have touch points to. How many are engaged actually calling your doctors?
Yes.
That's my question. I'm not asking well enough. So I'm doing second follow-on interviews with all these folks, and I'll get there a little deeper with them because, you know, if you hire Boeing, or if Boeing hires you and they've got, you know, 123,000 members and only 660,000 are engaged, that's not 123.
That's right.
You got to count the number of engaged.
Let me give you a small example. I had a small company. I'm retired a few years now, but I had a small company, and one of the owners, the wife would always come as a pit. The husband never came in. It was a welding company. So half the people would be leaving and coming and leave the business. So we'd have to cancel them out, or we'd offer them a discount if they want to stay, whatever. And this is the problem with the employers paying, because the even though they talk to their employees, hey, you have this doctor, Dr. Farrigo, you can get in touch with him 24/7. He'll get you in the day. You need to see 30 or 60 minutes, blah, blah, blah. They just, half of them still never showed up, couldn't care less. I would email them. We'd beg them to come in, and because they didn't have skin in the game. But this is how bad it got. I remember one of my patients from that office called me and said, you know, had a cut himself. And I said, well, send a picture. And he sent me a picture. And I said, well, yeah, you got to come in. I'm going to sew that up. And when he sent that picture, he was with his boss. And the boss says, boy, that's awesome. Your doctor can do that. Dude, I'm the guy you hired. You're the boss hired me. You're amazed that the patient can get sewn up. But I'm also your doctor. You just never came in. He just didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, yeah.
They talk in their numbers. They're talking out of their butt, man. They have no idea how many patients are truly going to see their doctor and what kind of care they're actually getting. When you pay for you and your family to a DPC doctor, guess what? You show up because you're paying and you're seeing that money coming out of your credit card every month.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of them have technology platforms that know what percent are engaged. The ones that are desperate to say how many members they have are these people like Teladoc, MD Lives. There's companies that are platforms,
right?
And they're saying, we touch 60 million lives. There's one run by Cigna. We touch 60 million lives. Well, touch means you have access to, but they're not telling you how many are actually calling it. Teladoc is telling, we get 20 million calls a year. But again, they're a platform. They're not a virtual primary care doctor that you go to when you need help.
Correct. Let me tell you the quick difference. We had, 600 around patients, and anybody, every year we would make sure everybody came in for their physical. We would be calling them, emailing them. So we knew no one. And then there are a few, maybe five patients that would use, could they pay, but they'd never come in. And basically we would say, do you really want to stay with us? You're paying for no reason. But so what percent was that? What, 1% maybe weren't never engaged. So
yeah.
You're not going to do that when the pure free market people pay for themselves or skin the game. They will go see their doctor. And the best quality metric is, hey, I think this doctor sucks. I don't like it anymore. I'm leaving. And so if your turnover is very small, because for that reason, you're doing a good job. These other quality metrics, anytime you join, the government wants to get involved in any manner, or even big organizations saying, we want some metrics from you. I can tell you right now, the small mom and pops, we're not playing that game.
I'm going to give you one final metric. And this one is the whipped cream on top, the cherry. So this is Merritt Hawkins does a study that says 31% of all the corporations offering DPC are giving it free or near free. Well, if you do the math on that, that's somewhere north of 7 million. People are now getting free healthcare. So I talked to them on the show. I've had seven guests that are case studies. And you know what they told me? Even if you offer it free, it's like Raymondville Independent School District, Ashtabula School District, two pretty small school districts, they offer it free and not everybody takes it.
No.
Yeah. They'll rather keep their doctor. They like Dr. Farrigo. They don't want to leave him. So they Correct. Stay there and they pay the premiums and the co-pays and the deductibles.
And that may be true. And just like the guy, and there's other reasons they don't leave. They don't really get it. They're not educated about it. They don't understand it. Just like that welding company where the owner was my patient, was amazed that the patient could see his doctor, even though I was his doctor as well. It just didn't click. And it's a constant education that has to happen. And then we teach, and I explain to people that DPC docs, you need to actually go to the company in front of their employees and explain what you do, because they're so amazed that they don't actually get it. But yeah, a free care means nothing. Unless you have skin in the game, like you said, a lot don't go. And also, they don't respect it as well if they don't have skin in the game. They think it's an urgent care. They think they can, you know, it's not a great relationship, I can tell you that.
Yeah. All right. We could talk all day about this subject because it's such a deep subject. I would want to talk about Rosen Hotels and Walmart and the state of New Jersey and their experience saving money, retaining employees, but we don't have time to do everything today. So, Doug, we'll do this again because you definitely take a different opinion than I do, and I respect it because you've seen a lot that I haven't seen. But if people want to find you, Doug, how do they reach out to you?
If you want to get more information on DPC and you're a doctor, go to dpcnews.com. If you just want to hear different thoughts about how this broken healthcare system is a joke, look at authenticmedicine.com. You can email me at doug@authenticmedicine.com. But there's ways to find me. I'm always poking and prodding. I don't hold back. I don't care anymore. I'm retired. I'm an old man. And so if I sound crotchety, it's because I am. But I do have a good heart behind it. And I think we show that in these different blogs.
Okay, we'll talk about retention next conversation because that's a big subject. So, Doug, if you could fly a banner over ahead with one message for America, what does that banner say?
I would say direct primary care is the only hope left for primary care.
That sounds like a Star Wars title.
Yeah.
The final hope. Okay. Well, sounds good, Jedi. It's nice to meet you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
You got it. Anytime.
I have been a happy customer of Redirect Health since before I started the show, guys, and I know firsthand the integrity and laser focus on us of the members of its two founders, Dave Bird and Dr. Janice Johnson. What do I get for me and my team? Well, I have 24/7 access to my healthcare team for any reason, and they have all my medical records right at their fingertips at all times. So no more filling out those stupid forms in clinics. And if I need a refill, if I got a rash, I've hurt my back, if I need an annual physical, Redirect Health takes it from there. I just tell them on my app what I need. We get free primary care visits and chiropractic and labs and patient assistance with meds, which means you can get free meds for a lot of your employees, probably most of them actually, and hospitalization with a $2,000 deductible. All of that is in my plan for about half what I used to pay in a traditional high deductible plan. But I have zero deductibles, zero copays except for that $2,000. So I go to get my care with my own doctor, or they'll find one for me. You keep your doctor with this plan. And I pay nothing there at the clinic after. It's super clean. What a friction-free plan should look like, right? And it's much less chance of any surprise bills, and Redirect totally handles all the hassles when my doctor's billing department in the hospital messes up, and they mess up 80% of the time. Well, I'm treated like a person, not a number at Redirect. So I'll say it on this show a million times and on my LinkedIn posts dozens of times, I use Redirect Health. If you want to get the business owner's guide to slashing healthcare premiums, go to get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. Thanks for listening. You can advance our movement by subscribing and kindly take a minute and leave a review. Each is a win for this show. Until next episode.